Good. Will y'all do me a favor? Would y'all just take your hands and hold them out in front of you? All right. Just hold them up. And would you do this with me? Say, yay, God.
Yay, God.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For your blessings.
For your blessings.
For 30 years.
30 years.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 You can be seated. All right. 30 years ago, there was six folks who agreed to help us start a church, as you heard earlier, two of which were his mom and dad. And since then, a few years ago, 5 years ago, dad went home to be with the Lord. But mom is still here with the original family. Mom, would you stand up? Ed and Sabrina Morgan, are you in the house? Ed and Sabrina, are you here? All right. They are? All right. I know Kate and Bob is out of town. They may be as well. Anyway, they were the other ones who helped start it. So, Mom, thank you so much. 30 years. Can you believe that? I told you the other week. It's a blessing to have your parents, but there's another side to it, particularly when you're working out that budget on the napkin. And when they ask the question, how much do you think Mike needs to live? And Dad says, not much. That's your dad right there. It's our privilege to have with us a special guest, and his name is Charles Simpson. And if y'all know Charles, there's a long history with Charles. I mean, just some pretty phenomenal things that happened. But one of the reasons I felt so strong to have him is that y'all know that what is here is based on where somebody else got us, and we're standing on the shoulders of somebody else. I remember when Mom talked about getting tapes from you, Brother Charles, as one of them, but getting tapes because it was such a dry season during that time until she would live from month to month off the tapes that she would get and listen to. The worship like you just experienced was not available very much at all. It just wasn't the season. It wasn't here. And God, there was a movement that happened through the 60s and 70s where God poured out His Spirit. And a lot of people were filled with the Spirit, and there was a fresh new revival. And Brother Charles was one of the leaders in that revival. And the reason that's important to me is this, is that Ken Summerall, my spiritual dad, my mentor, he's gone on to be with the Lord as well. And yet much of what comes out of me, much of what I was taught when I was sitting in Bible school, much of what I saw in worship, much of what I saw with God moving and miracles and other things happening, that was a gift to me that I sat and I watched beyond my childhood being raised, obviously, in church. That was given to me, which is a part of the fiber of Cathedral. And with Brother Ken going home with the Lord, a lot of folks don't realize that pastors, though, need pastoring. And so that's what would happen. And so Brother Ken's pastor was Charles Simpson. And so when we started thinking about 3 months ago where we wanted the focus to be, and all of us agreed that we wanted to focus for this 30th to go straight up, say, God, yay, God, and because this is what you've done. But then as it went back to where it came from, since Brother Ken couldn't be here, I said, what better person to have than his close friend, the one that actually did his funeral and lived and walked and knocked around in the same circles that he did. And so it's with a great, great sense of honor and privilege for me to introduce to you Charles Simpson. Would you give him a very warm hand?
Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful to be here today and to experience your faithfulness along the way, the journey. And even as you were with those who went before us and are with us, I know you will be with those who are yet to come. I pray that you'll help us in this moment as we reflect and look forward to realize that we are part of something eternal. Everlasting. Thank you that we're part of what lasts. Bless this house, I pray, and the pastor and his wife and family and all the leadership in the church. I pray your favor will continue to rest upon us so that the light of Jesus will shine brightly everywhere. Thank you, Lord. We pray in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Well, it's great to be here. I mean, it's great just to be here. When you get my age, you can appreciate that statement even more. I'm going to read from the book of Acts, first chapter, and I'd like to read a lot of verses, but I'll just read verse 5 and verse 8 from the New King James Version. Then I'll refer to the book of Ecclesiastes, that great charismatic book. Have you read Ecclesiastes? Anyway, Ecclesiastes 7:10. But Acts 1:5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And verse 8, but you shall receive power. Say power with me. Power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And then in Ecclesiastes, you need not turn, but you could if you wanted to. In chapter 7, verse 10, he says, don't say that the last days were better than these days. Don't say that the past is better than the present. He says, for the end thereof is better than the beginning. The end is better than the beginning. Let's say that together. The end
is better than the beginning.
Amen. Now, it's easy to be nostalgic. And I think the older you get, the more you talk about the good old days and everything. But that's really not scriptural. Nostalgia is dangerous because you start to look back. And it's good to review the past, so that you can learn from it and live in the future as it comes. But usually the past is not as good as we remember it. I was born in South Louisiana among Cajuns. My mother was a German Cajun, which is a bad cocktail. My father was a faith missionary, Baptist faith missionary. Mother grew up Catholic, which explains some of my personality problems, those two things together there. And I'm just amazed. Every once in a while, I drive back to the swamp and just to try to remember. Of course, it's changed. They have TV in the swamp now. But, I think nostalgia. There are a lot of good things that happened then, but it's not better than now. As a matter of fact, the Great Depression, the swamp, all that, it's not better than now. And the end thereof is better yet. Now, when I read the book of Acts and the power of God and the great revival that came, it's easy to say, oh, I wish it was like that. But look, how many of you know that millions of people are being filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, they are. I was listening to a friend a few days ago, and he was talking about how many Muslims are coming to Christ, in particular one certain country. And the things that are happening, you know, I know that there are negative things out there, but I thank God that I'm living today. Aren't you glad to be alive today? Amen, me too. Now, I have to be careful. There's so much excitement up here. I can still feel it, actually. And at my age, I have to be careful how excited I get, because I was in a church and the choir, which is a very large choir, they did a musical that was popular back in that day, Get All Excited and Tell Everybody That Jesus Christ Is Lord. Great musical. But the choir ran down and ran out through the audience. It was so exciting. I almost ran out with them. I just kept on running. Anyway, I but when I get excited, I don't communicate well. The guy, his wife was about to have a baby, and he called the emergency room, said, my wife's about to have a baby. The contractions are 2 minutes apart. And the nurse said, is this her firstborn? He said, no, it's her husband. And sometimes we just, a friend of mine had a friend, he said, I guess you're excited about being an uncle. He said, well, I don't know if I'm an uncle or an aunt. They don't know the sex of the baby yet. Well, a guy was being interviewed and he said, when's your birthday? He said, April. He said, what year? He said, every year. You know, well, excitement's a good thing. I want to talk a little bit about this day. Congratulations on 30 years. Congratulations to Pastor Mike and Dean and the whole family. You're a church with a lot of ability, a lot of energy, a lot of creativity, and what I really like, a lot of longevity. It lasts. It's not just a blossoming flower that fades. And that's one of the evidences of things of God. They endure. I love history. I majored in history. I'm not an expert, but like somebody said, by the time you get wisdom, you get dementia. But anyway, I love history. And I love to learn from history. I think it was Churchill said, if you lose your history, you lose your future. And I appreciate that, but I don't live there. I live here. I want to glean from the past, but I want to use it in the future. My father, who was a minister for more than 60 years, used to say, the best is yet to come. He said it often, and I know you've heard that. And I believe that it is. As it says in Ecclesiastes, the end is better than the beginning. Just as harvest is more joyful than the planting. Pastor mentioned Brother Ken Summerall. Ken and I were in seminary together, and we're different personalities, but appreciated one another. Thank you so much. This is one of the most attentive churches. I didn't even say anything. I just thought it. Wow. I won't mention that there are other kinds, but I appreciate this. We met in seminary, and Ken had a couple of master's degrees. He was a very bright, direct, bold person. You couldn't quote a scripture without him telling you where it was in the New Testament. I admired that a lot. I felt more spiritual than I was when we met, and I really admired him, although we were different. I won't go into all the ways we were different to be confessing. But he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We had exchanged pulpits and so forth. And I heard about it. And so I went to a prayer meeting that he had started. He had been pastor of a large Baptist church at that time, one of the largest in Pensacola area, around 900 members. And he had been encouraged to fellowship elsewhere after he got baptized in the Spirit. And so I heard about it. I don't criticize Baptists, by the way. I owe Baptists. A lot. My father was a Baptist pastor. My grandfather was a Baptist deacon. I was born at a Baptist hospital. married a Baptist girl, went to two Baptist colleges, and had Baptist pets. And we, you know, I owe Baptists. But they were not particularly interested in this experience. And so Brother Ken got to start again. And I heard about it, and being friends, I went over in the second trip to his small prayer group, was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Changed my life. Dramatically. Thank you. I often tell people before I got dry, how many of you know God will bring you into a low place in order to lift you up, make you know you need Him? And some of you, if you're in a low place today, it may be God just getting you ready for a good drink of spiritual water. Thank you. Anyway, I tell people I got so dry I couldn't get a sermon out of the Gospel of John. I really got dry. When you have to preach every Sunday and you're not, you know, being refreshed, it can be hard. I had splinters in my stomach, you know, it was dry. After I got baptized in the Spirit, I could preach out of the index. I was on fire and ready to go. It's true. I mean, it made a dramatic difference. Anyway, that put me and eventually your pastor in the same spiritual family, because Ken started Liberty Bible College. Brother Mike went to Liberty Bible College and testifies that it made a big impact on his life. And so we find ourselves with the same spiritual DNA. And I'm grateful. I have a great admiration for the work that he and the staff have done here. We have the same spiritual DNA. How many of you understand that you can have the same DNA as your brother or sister, but not always dress the same? Sometimes I think we mistake the style as being, as being different than our DNA. In other words, our DNA makes us who we are in character and in physical issues, sometimes mental issues, but not the style. I appreciate that this congregation and its leadership are willing to be creative and not just do the same thing. Aren't you glad for that? Yeah, I'm telling you, this is not boring. this will get your heart rate up. I'm telling you, that choir, they're all in good shape. But repetition, how many of you understand repetition can be hypnotic? You know, you just watch this, and pretty soon you get drowsy. And one guy, I was always going to sleep. Pastor said, "Why don't you go to sleep while I'm preaching?" He said, "I trust you, Pastor. You know? It's going to turn out the same way." Pastor said to the deacon, "Wake that man up." He said, "You wake him up, you put him to sleep." You know? Well, a fellow passed away in church. They called the paramedics, and he hauled out six before he got the right guy. You know, it's easy. Somebody explain that to you. Anyway, it's easy just to say, "Well, I know about religion. It's predictable." I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is not predictable. And He has some good surprises for us if we'll be sensitive and follow Him. I can say this, that since the Lord got a hold of my life, it hasn't been boring. I'm not bored. I think that if I get bored, I hope the Lord will take me home, because I know I'm not walking in the Spirit. You have a DNA, whether you know it or not, because Pastor Mike got a DNA, and we've all got some DNA from our heritage. Sometimes we don't even know. And it's a DNA that's a love for God, for Jesus, who is our payload, a love for the Holy Spirit, who is our power, Years ago, I saw a shuttle launch. I was given the privilege, my family, to stay in a home on the east coast of Florida, and it was a gift, and the deck was right out there on the beach, and I didn't even know that Cape Canaveral was just south. I saw a lot of activity, and I turned on the TV. They said going to be a space launch, and I can't tell the whole story, but it kept getting delayed like typical airport, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning before it launched, but my goodness alive, it lit up the ocean. I mean, it was scary. We use the word awesome a lot, but that was awesome. And I watched that shuttle go across the Atlantic in just a matter of a minute or two, the guy said, it's over England. How many of you understand, we have a wonderful payload, a unique payload, Jesus Christ. There's nothing like him in all the world. Our payload's not really our doctrine. It's not a lot of the accoutrements. Our payload is a person. It's Jesus Christ, whom the world desperately needs. But it takes power, say power with me, power to launch the payload. For a lot of people, they got the payload, but it sits on the pad. How many of you know, without the power of the Spirit, we can't really magnify Christ in the world? So we got started as a movement with the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon people, and it happened all over the country, happened all over the world in the 60s and 70s, as the pastor alluded. And we've got this DNA in us, put there by people who begot us in Christ generations ago, that is a love for Jesus, a desire to see him glorified in the earth. I love the songs your worship team sang because they're good songs. They're biblical songs. It's good. I know they didn't need me to say that, but I like it. I appreciate content that launches Christ and glorifies his name. We have a love for Jesus, a love for the Holy Spirit, a love for the Word of God, a love for the people of God, and the courage and the boldness to be different, to seek excellence, to have faith in the future and what God is going to do. As I said, it's good to review history. But I ain't living there. I'm not living there. I love it. I majored in it. I have wonderful ancestors, some of them. The others we don't talk about. But I know, but I'm not living there. I'm living here. And living as long as God allows me to, an exciting life, hanging out with exciting people. The fields are white into harvest. We have a great legacy. And if we are good stewards of it, we'll have a great future. The best is yet to come. We haven't seen anything yet. I believe there's going to be a great move of God that sweeps across the earth. Already in some places, I was recently with leaders from Africa, Latin America, and they were telling me the wonderful things that God was doing. We're going to see things 40 years ago, 50 years ago, we would never imagine that we would see. I believe the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. We've got this legacy. I pray one thing as I look back at our spiritual fathers, that I can be as good a steward of this legacy as they were. It's our turn. God bless you.
Taking that away, huh? Go ahead. Now, y'all want something to pray for me about? Yeah. Okay, here you go. When I get 80 years old, Brother Charles, if I can speak like that, that would be a good day. It was, it was the first church service, actually was September the 13th, 1987. And in 1988, we had Brother Ken come and do the anniversary service for us, a year after we started. And he's praying at the end. And as he's praying and blessing the congregation, all of a sudden he switches over and then he says, I'm prophesying. And we got that recorded for you. So I want you to listen to, at least you get a chance to hear Brother Ken's voice and what he said. And then we were in a motel, small group of folks, no way to even know the future or have any idea about the future other than God prompting him. And so here goes Brother Ken, sermon roll.
Believe you, to believe you for land for this church, to believe you for a building that's going to seat the thousands of people that's going to come into this church. And I'm prophesying now, this is going to be one of the largest churches in the Southeast. But keep what you've got. Regardless of how large you get, regardless of who comes in, keep the tenderness and keep the love and keep the sweetness and keep the excitement.
This past week we had a staff meeting, and during the staff meeting, I asked the staff, I said, just give me a one word, your take on Cathedral and what impact it's had, and how would you describe it? Just one word. And they spoke, feeling at home, healing, restorative, redemptive. And then our newest kid on the block, the new head of schools, Pat, who we just hired this past summer, and so he's been here for a few months. And Pat spoke up, and he says, sweetness. And I had not remembered until he said it that Brother Ken had said something like that. And now 30 years have gone by, 29, with Brother Ken. And the newest kid on the block said, what I've experienced since I've been here this summer is sweetness. And I thought to myself, thank you. Thank you. And I can honestly tell you guys, I don't know how God got a young boy off of a farm out of a rural area in Horry County and somehow directed his life until I'm standing here on this stage in front of you as your pastor. I don't know how that happened. It was just God. But I can tell you this. It's been a privilege and honor for Dean and I to serve you. And you're the most loving, wonderful congregation on the planet. Thank you for 30 years and how you've treated us as a family for 30 years. You have done this. God has enabled, but you have done it. Thank you. I'm going to ask Dean if she would come up and just say a word. Speaking of sweetness. Well, sweetheart, it's been a fun ride, 30 years.
It has been so fun.
Mm-hmm. You and I were just babies.
Little babies. Were we in our teens? Not quite.
Not quite.
No. It really has. And when we came, we had no idea that this even existed, this type of congregation, this size church, anything like this. We had no idea. What we knew was Mike and I both had a passion to see people come to know Jesus Christ. I mean, we wanted that more than anything. And so, you know, when we came, to be quite honest, we didn't know what in the world we were doing, did we, Mike?
No clue.
We really didn't. You know, we didn't know. The only thing we knew is we wanted people to come to know Jesus. And And when God gave us this word, it released us. And the word he gave us was, you know, Dean and Mike, if y'all would just keep your hands off of it, I'll build that church. You won't have to do it. You just go along with me, and I'll build the church. And you'll see people come to know me. And y'all can help make a difference in this world for me. And I'm telling you, I can't thank him enough for the privilege of being able to be y'all's pastors. Because, you know, for us, y'all really are family. Y'all are our family. And we love you, and thank you again for letting us do what we love doing.
Good. All right, thank you, guys. Y'all want to worship some more?
Yeah.
Can you say, yay, God, with me again? 30 years. Yay, God. Let's worship some more.